My name is Garland Robinson. You know, there's a desperate need for brotherhood in our world today, isn't there? We learn of all the wars that's going on, all the killing, all the bombings, all the terrorist acts. People are filled with so much hatred for others. Greed, power, injustice prevails all around. You know, the only hope is for the true and lasting gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached around the world and people to embrace the teaching of the Scriptures. A peace accord between men or a group of weapon inspectors, that's not going to bring about lasting peace. It's only in the brotherhood of Jesus Christ that we can have lasting peace. First, there has to be a genuine love for all men. The gospel has to be preached around the world because we love the souls of men. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. Woe to any of us who would selfishly hold back the saving gospel of Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, "I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Friend, the truth has to be presented even to our enemies. We need to let whosoever will come unto the Lord. Revelation 22:17 says, "Whosoever is athirst, let him come and take of the water of life freely." Anyone who learns of the gospel of Jesus Christ, believes that, and obeys that, can be saved. Friend, if you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, you can repent of your sins, turn from them, put them away from you, confess faith in Jesus, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus teaches us then to love others as we love ourselves. We are told in Matthew chapter 22:39 that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what Jesus did. And he gives us the perfect example to love one another. Notice we read in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. He speaks of those who were members of the church at Ephesus before they became Christians. He said that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now notice verse 14. For he is our peace who hath made both one. He's speaking here of both Jew and Gentile. And hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Jesus, friend, is the answer. If we will abide by his doctrine. When people obey the gospel, their separation from God ends. They become a part of the great brotherhood of Christians all around the world. Brethren in Christ can then stand side by side, having been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ, because he is our peace. It's not God's intention for his creation to live in fear, constantly mistrusting and hating one another. God loves us. He wants us to know the truth. He wants us to embrace the gospel and live according to it. It's a lesson about love. The unifying power of the cross gives us reason to love one another. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 7, we read, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Beloved, If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. You know, we hear a lot about love today, love your neighbor, and love this. But unless that is founded, grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ, not by my opinion, not by what I think, not what I think we ought to do, but in the Scripture, the New Testament, the Gospel of Jesus, unless we embrace that, we might have peace among ourselves, but it'll not be peace with God. We've got to have peace with God first. Then we have peace with God, we can have peace one with another, and we'll love one another. Remember how the Lord told His disciples, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." John 13, verse 34 and 35. The love of Jesus melts the cold, sinful heart. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3 and verse 16. So God loved us, we ought to love one another. And that would be a symbol, that'll be a sign, here He says, to all those around, because in the world there's cheating and there's fraud, there's swindling, there's backstabbing. All those things are going on, but among the people of God, I mean those that are really people of God, those that are really sincere, those that are really faithful according to the Scriptures, not because of a personal agenda, but because they're truly converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's peace among those people. And they have the genuine love and care for one another. They're looking out for others' interests. They're not selfish. They're not greedy. And the Lord said, that kind of living, that kind of genuine care and love for one another is so unique, so unusual, so different than the way the world lives that people will notice it. They'll know it's not with fraud or it's not hypocrisy. They'll know it's genuine, and they'll know that's the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what He says there in John 13, 35. By this shall all men know that you're My disciples, if ye have love one for another. As we mentioned that here, we understand love is not mushy. It's not simply a feeling, but it's genuine. It's rooted in the very foundation of seeking another's best interest. We genuinely care for the other person. We want them to be advanced. We want them to be promoted. We want them to be blessed even more than we ourselves. We genuinely care for other people. And friend, that involves humility. Will we be as our Lord? The Lord taught a great lesson in humility in John the 13th chapter. You remember when He took a towel and a pan of water and stooped down to wash the disciples' feet? Can you imagine the Lord of glory, God in the flesh, bowing down before His frail human creatures that He made and washing their feet? It's simply a lesson in humility. And He said, as I have done unto you, do ye also likewise. Our lives ought to be lives of humility. The life we live is a lifetime of brotherhood. You know, people are different. Everywhere you go, people are different. Some are tall, some are short, some are fat, some are skinny, some are rich or poor, educated or uneducated, white, black, brown, red, all kinds of difference. All kinds of differences. Many of these differences have been used by Satan to bring about division. People have prejudices, they have fears, they have misinformation and conceptions about other people, and there's division. Well, we would do well to remember that God hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. Acts 17 and verse 26. Friends, we all came from the same place. Adam and Eve that was made in the beginning and placed in the Garden of Eden, every human being that has ever lived, all who exist in the world today came from Father Adam and Mother Eve. God didn't have separate creations, one for this race and another for that race or for this ethnic group or for that ethnic group. We all came from the same place. We're all created in the image of God. We all have a soul that will answer to God for what it's done in this world. And come judgment day, when we stand before that great seat of judgment, we'll hear the verdict given on our account. Will we hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Thou hast been found faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many." Or will we hear, "Depart from me, accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I know you not." Friends, we must be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, of doing Bible things in Bible ways and calling Bible things by Bible names. And one of those great things is love of mankind. Not because of the evil, not for the wickedness they do, but because of the souls they represent. That soul that needs to hear the gospel. Peter told those in the household of Cornelius in Acts 10 and verse 34, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Friend, everyone has a right to hear the gospel. And when they obey that gospel by believing it, by repenting of their sins, confessing faith in Christ, and being baptized in order to wash their sins away in the blood of Jesus, they are Christians. And they have been added into that one body. And they live in union and harmony with the will of God and all brethren in the church of Christ. Friend, may God have mercy on us for failing to learn the great teaching on loving one another. 1 John tells us to love the brotherhood. And that's what we need to be doing. My name is Garland Robinson.